had what, 2 dry hours today? It's Saturday.
Yeah, I think they're about.
I took full advantage of those 2 dry hours.
Yeah, Scott went on.
I was
on.
Pretty happy.
We got Scott Giles. We got Bart Hockerman.
So Scott hasn't been on the show since February when we did a show at Coda. Right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Scott is our driver development lead for GLTC, and one of the people that helped build our current successful yet also doubted by everybody else.
It'll never work.
Beginner program.
It will never work.
Basically the same program that like Skip Barber used for 30 years. Totally wouldn't work.
Never work. It'll never work.
So Scott's been around Grid Life for a while. And we're sitting in the merch booth. What time is it? We got 8:30.
That's early.
And Bart was hanging around. And Bart sells cool batteries now. Used to be a Pegasus.
Only 14 years.
Only just a tiny little stint.
Just a snippet of my life.
I have one of your cool batteries. Giles has experience with cool batteries.
I have one of your cool batteries. I use one of your.
Do you know
cool
who
batteries.
Doesn't?
Who?
Me.
Oh,
Abe doesn't have one of his
Abe
cool
needs
batteries.
To lighten that car
because
by
I don't
like
have cars
pounds.
That go on track currently.
Abe
and
has
it's,
a minivan. Right.
I do now own a minivan,
yeah,
and it is
don't worry
excellent.
About that guy. Okay. Other guy.
We got something for Abe.
All right.
Perfect.
You started Anti-Gravity, what, beginning of the year?
Right.
March?
Right as COVID was coming
into
play.
How's that going?
That's
for
like
you?
The perfect time to start a new job.
It's an excellent time to start a new job.
Right.
It was interesting, but all in all, everything's gone very well, even with our wonderful social distancing.
Go ahead. All right. I was going to say, what's your main job at Anti-Gravity?
Sales coordinator.
You come to events and you talk to everybody about everything, right?
I may know a person or two,
right?
And sometimes it plays out well, sometimes it plays out even better,
right?
So just kind of been showing up at events and talking to friends and I guess you say the motorsports family and kind of making sure people are taken care of.
That's good,
because as you know, I'm not really a high pressure sales guy.
No, I haven't noticed that.
No, never.
Hey, what do you need?
Like, exactly.
That's like the highest pressure I've ever gotten from you in any purchase.
Do you know how the Grid Life decals and stickers for the competition often get sidebushed?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I once had Bart Hockerman sidebush something for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, sidebush meaning we pick them up after hours. Earl Mitch and Company puts them in the bush on the side. And then they write hashtag sidebush on the side of the package.
So I think Bart's pretty good to people.
What did you buy from that? It was on One Lap, right?
It was clamps for V-bands.
Yeah.
And
the little tiny ones for your nipples, right?
Yes.
No, you're not supposed to talk about that anymore.
Okay. Sorry.
Great.
As it turns out, like,
let Abe's secret out.
Yeah, I think
Ashley's right over there.
In principle,
she was going to say it.
Yeah. In principle, V-band clamps are a good idea.
Yeah.
Practically, I'm not impressed.
They're so hard to put together.
Yeah, like
unless you're like a freaking Smedegar and you got like an eye of a tiger. And man,
the one working on it at NCM and couldn't get it to go together.
Yeah.
V-bands are always a sketchy subject.
They can be a little bit of a pain.
You know?
You got the ones that that interlock with the little step on them.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be okay. But like half of the time you're tightening up and it goes chink and it's a little bit crooked. They're kind of annoying.
Yeah, no. It's a pain though.
They're kind of annoying. But so you're at Anti-Gravity Batteries now. Like,
yes.
What is
selling those lightweight lithium batteries?
They're a joke.
At
I
Autobahn,
don't think they're real yet.
He hands me a box, and I'm like, "Oh, it's a promo box."
Freak! Yeah.
Like, so throw it up in the air.
I'm not even kidding. He shipped me a battery. I took it out of the case. I was like, "Oh, Bart's joking." I got like an empty plastic case. What is going on with this?
That was the demo battery. It only works all the time.
I hooked my car up to it a year ago, and the car is still running. Just
I think they make them so light so that they can save money on shipping.
Totally.
I don't know what's going on.
How do they freaking work? Like, what's an anti-gravity battery?
It's just the awesome lithium technology, and they've kind of pushed it a step further over some of the other brands and developed a battery that is, I guess, say, trying to save people's forgetfulness.
Right. The restart technology.
You know, with the restart or even our HD battery that cuts off at the 10.8 volts.
Okay.
So that way, like, you guys that are out here racing, you spend how much money a weekend to go race?
And you're also busy. Like, you're spending, what, $1,000 a weekend plus?
Exactly.
Right.
But do you want to show up at the event and have some battery that's not going to work
for you? Yeah, and you also leave your transponder on and it kills it overnight. Your wideband on and it kills it overnight.
Oh, yeah. Like, or your solo DL plugged into your OBD2 all night and, oh, wait, it drains things down.
How does the restart technology work?
Basically, it's looking at, you know, normally your battery is always seeing a charge.
Right.
But if it's seeing a draw and no charge, it's going to shut itself off.
Okay.
And it's after it reaches a certain voltage, which is in the 12.6 volt range. So then when you go to hit the restart button, after you come back to your car and go, hey, wait, this is dead.
Yeah.
Hit the restart button, go to fire the car up, and fire it right back up.
Right. Hey, Alex Moss.
Hi, Bot.
Hi, Alex Moss.
How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
Good.
You'll get your turn later, Alex. Jeez. Unbelievable.
Alex's wife and daughter were here this
I know. They looked very happy because so nice. He was doing well. Car was staying clean. He didn't go out in the rain.
You got freight trained by Mikhail on the front straight. We saw that.
Dude, it was crazy. Mikhail in the TTRS, that car is gnarly,
man. It's not fast at all, really. It's not.
It's so fast. It's crazy.
It's better when it has all-wheel drive, too.
All right, we're watching this.
It was not an all-wheel drive.
Okay, so
Scott,
going through 40.
Exactly.
Scott drove a ZL1 Camaro today. Stock ZL1.
It sits as it rolled off the showroom floor, including brake pads, tires, and brake fluid. I chickened out at 155 miles.
Why are new cars so good and accessible?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's because
you shouldn't be able to buy that, man.
People want fast.
It's so fast, though.
I want fast.
Abe's going to go get a drink.
But then again,
Does anybody want... Who's running this podcast, Abe?
Is there ever anybody running this podcast?
I kind of look at it sometimes.
He's using the Bluetooth drive shaft to run this.
Yeah. He can figure it out over there. How has the year with the pandemic and everything happening with... How's it been for anti-gravity batteries?
It
seems like it's a builder's year. A lot of people are spending more time on it.
Definitely been a builder's year. If you really think about it, what has everybody done with pandemic life? They've gone and driven their UTVs, ATVs, and motorcycles and everything else.
And stared at their project cars. And
you need that escape. And then, so we were selling a lot of the power sports batteries during the major part of the pandemic. And then as things are starting to open back up and racetracks are going, everybody's like, oh, wait, I haven't driven my car in 3 months, and now I have a dead battery, and now I need something else. Let's look at a different option.
My Odyssey died, because that's what my Odyssey does. We shouldn't talk bad about Odyssey. Odyssey, if you're out there, I'd love to have you as a sponsor. But I killed so many Odysseys.
You didn't say that, Adam. You didn't say that on the podcast.
Yeah, I killed a lot of Odysseys. I was so intrigued when I was at COTA in February. I'm looking at Houghton's car, and he's like, it's got the restart battery on it. I'm like, how does that work? And I had talked to you a little bit the year before about it. And he was like, we accidentally left the thing on, and the battery's fine. Just push that button, and you go. And I was like, really? Because that sounds like exactly the thing that would save my weekends.
That's magic. It's
magic. It's crazy. On the way back from one of our events this year, I get in the car to pull it off the trailer, and I left the wideband on. And it freaking, the wideband was okay. It didn't burn it out.
Oh, yeah.
But like.
It'll survive. But your wideband's toast.
The wideband can run all night. But the thing had freaking 9.7 volts on it. Like, I had to back it off the trailer and push it up my uphill driveway at 11:30 at night.
Come on now. No, just bump start it. The neighbors will love you.
I didn't have the trailer at the right angle, so it like hung up in the middle. And then I'm like, oh, shit. Jack the nose up. And I wasn't in the car when it rolled off the trailer.
Yeah, James has been using the anti-gravity batteries now for...
A couple years, several years.
3-4 years now.
How old is the company?
I don't even know exactly, which is so crazy. I want to say they started in 06, was kind of like the original first year kind of thing. It was either 06 or 09. But it was kind of... It all started in like... With motorcycles, the motorsports, like power sports motorsports.
Really early on lithium stuff, too.
Yeah, and their original ones didn't have any of the restart technology, didn't really have any protections built into it.
Right.
And then as things were progressing and you're seeing issues where people leave things on and end up shorting out a cell, and then they're like, oh my gosh, this battery sucks, but it so wasn't
I'm
the battery.
My Sears charger from the 70s on it.
Oh yeah, that's a good time. Whatever you do, do not use a battery tender or any other charger out there that is not specifically designed for lithium.
Okay.
Please only use a lithium designed charger.
That's smart.
There
call,
is a reason
Bart.
For that.
Call Bart. Get the setup.
Just get the right.
I called Bart. I got the setup. Bart set me up. I'm pretty happy.
They hold the charge all winter if you shut them off and kill the battery?
Well, it's basically the one that's in my BRZ has been in there since March of 2018.
Right.
It has never seen a charging system other than the car.
This sounds so amazing.
And in winter, because I only drive the car from, say, April through October, in winter I just disconnect both terminals and it sits in the garage where it gets down. Well, last winter, what was it, like 12 degrees in my garage at one point, even though it's attached to the house.
Yeah, you're Wisconsinite.
Yeah, this nice Wisconsin cold stuff.
Right.
And it is totally good. Yeah. So the come spring, hook positive, negative up, go fire up the car and
I love it.
Get on your merry way.
Yeah. I was going to put it in at Autobahn when I got one from you, but like the shape was like a tiny bit different for my mount, and I made the mount for my motorcycle battery. And I'm excited to never plug in my battery tender ever again. I'm really excited about
it. So he set me up. I think the one he gave me, this is on our first gen autocross car, the first gen CRX autocross car that... The car's all about lightweight. It's a 1,600-pound car.
Yeah.
And I keep he also gave me the Optimate charger.
Charger.
I keep plugging it in, and it like after a couple of minutes, it just turns green. Yo, all's good, bro.
Car's good to go.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. It doesn't. Nothing. Yeah. It's been completely maintenance free.
I'm excited to use
it. It's completely maintenance free. 3¾-pound battery. It's absolutely insane.
So the general theory is on lithium that it only loses 0.1% of its charge over a year of storage.
That's not a lot.
So, I mean, in the grand schemes, when you think about that, that's like nothing.
So, 3 or 4 years ago, when I was running an SCCA STL CRX, I had read this autocross thread by Leafy on Road Race Autocross, and he used a 14-volt aircraft, like model airplane aircraft battery. And he's like, just buy this one. Yeah. It's got five.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No, it totally actually worked. It's got 5-gauge bullet connectors and all that, but like. It's not meant for this, but it's a lithium battery, a lithium whatever.
Yeah.
And it didn't have a lot of guts, but that thing held. I still use it as a jump pack randomly. Like it held the charge for 4 years.
And that's the thing. I mean, like lithium batteries in general, they have a very dense power, and it's great. Yeah, you can use it. I've seen guys do that.
Honestly, the battery the little model aircraft battery is the same weight as like the big anti-gravity battery. It's literally within half a couple ounces. Like it's crazy.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah. It's a little solid brick versus your
the
box.
The downside is you run into that sketchy aspect of they're hooking it up to those wires
and whatnot.
Then you're like,
I've
seen a couple swell doing that.
But it did work. Lithium is stuff. It's really impressive.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's really impressive.
And that's kind of the thing that, you know, you get into is a lot of people are used to what people did with lithium. And now we kind of push that envelope to be more mainstream.
And safety-oriented.
And more safety-orientated, less chance or risk of fire in your vehicle.
Yeah. Fire sucks, man.
That's a big thing that everybody always talks about with lithium.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's so, you know...
Well, that's the five-year-ago concern, too. You're like, oh, man, I saw that one time when it lit that car on fire.
So
because they were doing everything wrong.
Or they shorted out a cell, and then they're trying to start it. Right. So, you know,
Yeah.
But we did also come out with a newer line that's a direct fit battery. So, like, your standard group size batteries, all the H5, H6, H7, H8.
Bolt into a factory chassis kind
of. Yeah. Like, your Porsche Cayman or GT3, whatever, it's... a replacement battery for those vehicles for basically a third the price of it from the factory.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And probably lighter, too.
Some of close, but it has the safety features built in that some of the factory batteries don't. I know some of the factory Porsche batteries are lithium now. Same with BMW.
Oh, yeah. Some of the new stuff is really crazy.
They don't have any of the restart technology or... Right. Protections built into the battery for a low voltage, so you can still kill those batteries.
Do you guys do anything in the RV world?
So, funny thing that you mentioned that.
That's the thing. I'm thinking about putting a lot of solar on my RV.
Why does it always come back to that?
Hey, so, pull that door shut.
So we're back to this like whole solar and RVs and, you know.
I'm just curious.
Everybody wants to do good stuff. So we have something in the works that was supposed to be a release point near SEMA.
Okay.
Or at SEMA. And with things going on, there are, you know.
Right.
You know, no SEMA, per se.
Perfect. You're the best.
So now we're looking at how that's going to launch, per se. But you didn't hear it from me that we do have a 100 amp hour, 200 cranking amp solar
Adam's
lithium
eyeballs just got real big. Did
battery
you see that?
In the works.
Big old battery.
Yeah.
Well, why do you want to put solar on your RV when you can just run the diesel generator and everything runs great?
I don't know.
I would want solar because I can't keep my generator running.
Well, if I don't need crazy AC because it's 1,000 degrees, it's really nice just to be able to like run everything but not run the generator. But I don't know. And I've thought about, you know, like leaving my family and my wife and just living in it in the boondocks and disappearing.
Oh, yeah.
I actually haven't thought about that. But yeah.
Well, we all think about that.
I mean, but I've thought enough about it to... Hi, Charlie, yeah. From Hard Times. So well, that's interesting. There
I think
might be
we're
something
looking
else coming
at
out.
Estimated weight on that, about 23 pounds for a Group 31
size
battery.
It would pull 500 pounds out of the back of my bus.
Oh, yeah.
I have so many batteries back there.
Don't get me wrong. They're not going to be cheap.
Oh, I imagine.
But they're still going to be less
that's kind
expensive
of
long term.
That's exciting.
Because in theory, lithium batteries, if properly maintained,
right.
should last 5 to 10 years, if okay. not longer.
I love that.
So
my Walmart deep cycles, they already seem like they're garbage and they're 2 years old. So, yeah.
Well, or they don't make lead acid batteries like they used to.
No, they definitely don't seem
they're
to.
Still just as heavy. They just don't work as well yeah. or last as long.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming out, man.
Oh, yeah.
You were thanks at Colorado. You were at yes. this one. Were yes. you at Mid-Ohio?
I was not at Mid-Ohio.
You were at Gingerman, though, right?
No, I didn't get
I
out.
I talked to you about it, but you
we
didn't come.
We talked about it a little bit, but the whole thing was getting out during the shenanigans.
Right.
So
now what else have we done? You were at Autobahn. That's where you were.
I was at Autobahn. Yeah, yes, and then I was at the circuit.
Right.
When you guys were up there for that GLTC.
That's right.
Had to see you know
Dakota
anti gravity battery driver James Houghton.
Right.
Going you know put some heat on everybody.
He did do quite well that weekend.
Yeah, you know that guy's yeah. sick.
So. Wow, what a transition we just made.
He
we
did well. Yeah, we're going to be talking about GLTC cars in a minute. But
yeah.
Where do people find out? I mean, you can hang out, but where do people find out about anti-gravity batteries?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty out in the open.
Bart so, Ackerman.
Yeah, on Instagram, the whole Bart from Anti-Gravity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, we do have a website. We do have good people, like our friend Ravi down at We Don't Lift in
oh,
Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just texting with him the other day about the Dakota event.
Yeah, so. He's one of the top sellers of anti-gravity batteries currently. Yeah.
Cool.
And just kind of working on building out the East Coast dealer network. So if you're looking,
right,
let me know.
It's literally like a small company. You're trying to build rad batteries and sell them to all the people.
Correct.
I love that.
So
it's the American way, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hustle.
Make it happen.
Hustle, hang out with your friends, and sell stuff.
Yeah, like, exactly. Now you got to work.
Hustle every day. Never take a holiday off, man.
Yeah, man. That sounds like a rap song. I don't know.
So now you guys are going to be talking about this, the new hot ticket.
Well, we're talking. Scott
the
has a
lot. The hottest ticket?
Not the hottest, but Scott's got a lot of ideas.
I don't know.
About
I think
GLTC
it's the coolest
cars.
Thing right now in racing right now is GLTC. By far.
I appreciate that, man.
Like, I mean. And
I appreciate that, too.
I've been
we
around this
that.
A long time. And I think it's legitimately the coolest thing in motorsports. And that's, I actually look forward to coming to
freaking
the events just
my
for
heart.
That.
So when people say things like that, it both warms Adam's heart and completely stresses him out.
Yeah, like, did you guys just see my face go pale?
Yeah, no, it totally
yeah, but
did.
It's okay.
So I pulled up to this track yesterday afternoon, and I saw one of my best buddies in the world. He's one of our photographers, Chris Sullivan. And there's a whole line of people. And, like, everybody's asking us, like, what to do. And I said to Chris, I'm like, dude, nobody realizes I've been faking this for 17 years. I have no idea what's going on.
He keeps saying that, but we keep pressing forward.
I think it's, he knows what's going on, and it's just like so ingrained that he thinks he doesn't know what's going on.
Well, you put all the thought in the world into an event like this. Like even the schedule, I've probably looked at it. If there was like, can you go on Google and Google like Drive and see how many times you viewed a document? Because I bet you I've viewed and modified the document for this schedule for 6 months. 150 times. Like, you go on there and you just stare at it.
Just being thorough.
If I was intermediate, how's my day? If I'm a beginner, and there's always compromises, but like, it's all the little stupid.
The amazing thing about all the work that goes into building the schedule is the second the track goes hot, it's all goes to shit. All of it.
If my schedule was this table, somebody would kick that table, flip it over, light it on fire.
Well, see,
five minutes into session one, somebody oils down the front straight, and it's all over.
Today, the ambulance was late, and we couldn't go hot for 12 minutes.
It is literally always something.
It is always something.
Well,
yeah.
It runs well, though.
Yeah, it's going all right.
I mean, for my limited events that I've been at.
Faking it.
They all seem to run well. Everybody has a good time.
Yeah.
And that's why people keep coming back.
It's the smiles per dollar, man. That's the goal.
I tell people that grid life internally is like a cancer patient on chemo with a really nice wig and good makeup.
Yeah.
So, we look fantastic, but on the inside,
everybody's
it's a struggle.
Almost dying.
It's a total struggle. Yeah. We're almost dead at all times.
So we got this thing, GLTC. We talked about it on the show way too much. Everybody's probably so sick of it.
Well, it's because it's the coolest thing. Bart just said it's the coolest thing.
Dude, I don't think anybody's sick of it. I think people are excited about it.
It's probably true.
as much as people be like, oh my gosh, it's GLTC again.
But I can't.
Like, when you come to every event, every event is different. And who's going to be leading?
That's the cool part. This is the biggest field we've ever had, too. But I can't take praise and like say that, oh yeah, that's cool, isn't it? I'm like, I have no idea how we did it. It might die.
It's not dying. It's great.
Scott, what are your ideas? If you were, say you had.
So let's give the prompt.
Yeah. So Scott has unlimited dollars and time.
Okay.
Do you have five cars?
I want to take
build?
A step back.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that people around GLTC believe that the only way to be competitive in a GLTC is to K-swap a car.
Something.
Whether it's a Miata or something else.
K24.
That's lemmingness.
I think
people think that is because it's already been proven successful. That's the only...
and it is...
That doesn't mean other things aren't also
It is easy
successful.
Button, push that thing in, get that TSX motor, tune it some way, and you're good to go. It's a thing.
It's not a bad way to go.
Isn't it K-swap all things?
It's true.
It's like LS all things, right?
I have K24 swapped a car. It's not a dumb thing to do.
No, it's not stupid.
It's a $700 motor that went straight to the front.
What we're asking, Scott, is if you're not doing that, what are you doing if you want to be fast?
What's your number five build for GLTC if you were to say non-K-swap?
Here's how I'd like to break this down.
All right, you go nuts.
Two different ways. The easy button, write a check, go to the front, or build. So, to me, the easiest button, easiest of all the easy buttons, is an HPD TCA spec Honda Civic Si, the 1.5 liter turbo. That car all day long can put down the power that you need to hit the power to weight ratio and that chassis and run up front. You find one used, the World Challenge TCA car or an SCCA T3 car, or you just write a check to Honda Performance Development and buy a brand new. Off the production line, Honda. I think they're $65,000.
I think they're cheaper than
that.
They were like $52,000, and then you put stuff in it. Yeah.
Ready to go, caged, everything. You just add your personal safety devices to them and put your wrap on it and your livery, and you go.
Right. Brand new car, no rust. Don't have to paint it.
Brand new car.
Yeah.
You don't get the warranty, but it's a brand new car. Yeah. That car, you can tune it to 225, 250, whatever. Run street to. I would. Seriously think about putting like 225 to 230 at the ground, which you can easily do with that powertrain with just a tune, and running a street tire setup on it, and doing the kind of the approach that James has done with his TSX. A street tired car that no one else can. It's not the quickest car in the corners, but I dare you to pass me in a straight line kind of car.
There's something to that.
You just write a check, and if you're a good driver, you're at the front instantly. You don't have to redevelop anything. You don't have to engineer anything. You don't have to swap anything. You don't have to do any wiring. A
couple
splicing.
Of test days, you comfortable yeah, in it, and you go. Right.
The other one of those is a Porsche Cayman.
There's bolt-on one here, and it's doing pretty well.
Bolt-on suspensions. Bolt-on suspension parts, do an intake and exhaust, put the cage and the safety devices in it, and go.
Maybe take a little bit of horsepower out of it.
Yeah, you got to detone that, but you're de-stressing the crap
Scott
out
Bowling,
of the car.
Who has the winning formula built one here.
All day long.
Literally, he was like, yeah, it's PDK car, too.
It's PDK car, yeah.
The only problem he's had with it, he's driven it a bunch. He's been all season this year. The only problem he's had with it was yesterday. It went into full limp mode, wouldn't shift, et cetera. You know what it was? Ran out of fuel. Forgot to put gas in it.
That'll do it. You need gas.
Yeah, forgot to put gas in it.
They're not Teslas.
Clear the codes. Because it protects itself. Clear the codes. Perfect.
It's like smart battery.
Yeah. Seriously. Put a lightweight battery in that shit.
So, yeah, those are at the top of my list of, look, if you have the money in the bank and you want to run up front, if you have the driver, and it takes a lot of driver talent to run up front in GLTC. I mean, you can't
it's
just
It's borderline depressing
car,
how hard it is.
It is. I mean,
there.
Really, really good drivers
so like
can't
two,
crack the top
2 years ago,
group.
Scott and I were like, yeah, I mean, we're not going to be up front, but, like, we're going to be out close, right?
No, we're not. No, we're not at all.
Those guys are mean and bad and fast.
We have actually, it was Andy Work that was telling me earlier today, yeah, I've won a whole bunch of championships. I can't even get the top half. I'm getting murdered out there, but he's loving it. He's absolutely loving not being able to get into the top half.
I think you have to approach that like, you know, not immediately being right up front because there's four cars or whatever. I mean, we got like, what, 44 this weekend or something?
40, I think we had like 44 at one point. We've had some mechanical failures. Right. And
multiple times in the last week, I have heard people asking for another power to weight class in GLTC. And it's like, I just shake my head. It's like, no. The whole point is that it's one class.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to take the thing and make it something different, then it's something different.
If we have two race groups, so we got like GLTX or whatever, like.
Then we have
like,
GLT.
What else has. Like, then do we not have HPDE? Like,
so it's
what has
proven.
To go?
I mean, you can run a C5 Corvette Z06 if you want to. You just got to detune the crap out of it.
Someone at Pikes Peak ran one and ran well, right?
Yeah, 5.3 motor, stone stock, 150 race hours on that thing.
So that's another. So
just
that's
power
a good transition into the next part of the list, which is cars that I would build if I wanted to like build and redesign a car and set it up. Right up at the top of the list, speaking of C5 Z06s, is the C5 FRC.
Fixed roof
coupe. Basically, it's the Z06, but it's cheaper and it has 50 less horsepower. So for our purposes, you have to detune it less. Right. So it's less entry cost. You can junkyard swap in a lot of brake parts and other parts from a Z06 on the thing, eBay parts.
Right.
And there's 50 less horsepower, and you're not paying the Z06 premium for the car up front. You can buy nice versions of that thing all day long for $15,000.
And those are nice cars.
You can buy like beat up autocross cars for like $8,500.
Oh yeah.
Cage suspension, detune it, hit your power to weight ratio, flat torque curve, go. That one's right up at the front.
It'd
be
super
of the list.
Fun too.
Yeah,
and sound
great car.
It'd be great on
a track like this.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
It'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Fat, torquey power band.
Yeah.
The one that was at PPIR.
Speaking of Corvettes, where's Chris Tuttle?
In Florida. He's hiding from everybody in Florida.
Damn.
Hi, Tuttle. Tuttle listens. We should tell him to come back.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I miss Chris.
Chris runs a C4. That's C4 pretty awesome. Corvette.
Such a rad car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that C5 that was at PPIR, it was a WRL car.
Yeah.
And it was a 5.3 junkyard motor, and he just took a bunch of power. I think he made 250.
Yeah.
And it ran great.
Yeah.
Like, really well driven. It was right at the front the whole time. Did everything, like, pretty similarly to the S2000s, too. He was, what, 3,500 pounds or 3,300 pounds? Versus the S2, like Andy Smedegaard's like 28.
The car was whipping up on people on the oval.
It was really cool. It was fun to watch. But not a ringer.
It was
but
doing
right
exactly
there,
what you would expect
right
it to
there.
Do. It was whipping up on people when the green flag dropped.
Right.
And doing a really good job on the oval. But when you got into the infield, the lighter, more nimble cars were taking over on the infield. And then it would get back up. So horses for courses, right?
Right.
You know, if you go to COTA or Road America, if you've got a high horsepower car that's really, really good in a straight line, it's going to be hard to beat that. Right. That same car might struggle to get in the top 10 at Mid-Ohio. this is how it works. It's just racing.
That's part of the fun of it, too. You want to build the best all-around car.
Yeah.
And you also want to build a car that is flexible. Like you say, okay, I want to add 300 pounds and bring my average horsepower up, or like my, you know,
I want to
detune or retune or change this or this tire, like the flexibility that it offers. We're not talking spec lines where it's like, okay, I have a 350Z. This is how I can run.
Yeah.
Like you can play with these things too.
So. I know. I'm not going to give it away. I know somebody that's looking hard at building a GLTC C5 FRC. You know who it is. We all know who it is. I'm not gonna podcast out who that
is. Do
I
know who it is?
Oh yeah, you know who it is.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna podcast out who that's it.
But I hope it happens.
Hope it happens.
Yeah.
So actually there's two people talking about.
There's gonna be a few of those.
I loved it. That's a good car.
It is a good car. Again, good chassis.
You know,
good
another
suspension.
Good one that we haven't seen yet. So I want you to think about James, the Canadian bullet car.
Right. TSX.
That's a really good build. That car would do great here at Road America.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect for this track. It did great at COTA. I'm going to throw something out. It's going to sound a little bit odd, but if you think about it, no, it's not.
What's that?
How about bulleting a Ford Fiesta ST?
I don't see any reason. I mean, you got like 400 foot-pounds of torque.
You can put 250 to the ground all day long on that car, make it slick, put it on street tires, and dare anybody to pass you on the straightaways.
And you play with the tune to where it's everywhere.
Just put a downpipe and a tune on that thing. That thing will make 250
idea.
All day long.
What kind of torque would that make there?
Pretty much whatever you want it to be. It'll be over 200.
It'll probably be over 300.
Yeah, easy.
You said Fiesta ST or Focus?
Fiesta ST. I would go Fiesta.
Oh, Fiesta.
Finch is going to listen to this. He's going to have an idea.
What's Renee's car?
It's a Fiesta ST.
They all look the same.
Totally and completely stock.
How do you keep them from rolling over?
Three cylinders.
You make them really low.
Don't let Finch drive them.
Don't let Finch drive
them. Oh, poor Rye guy. I got to buy some trailer tires from him on Monday, too.
Actually, we love you, Brad.
Lower them, do some suspension work, and widen the track.
There you go.
Which, by the way, in our rules, you can flare the fenders, widen the track,
right.
Put more wheel and tire on them, put street tires on them, you can put more wheel and tire on them.
Can you imagine how cool one would look like if it looked like a rally car, too?
Yeah. No, you could totally do a rally Fiesta.
Like a rally, a world rally, or not world rally. X Games Rallycross type.
You can easily put 250 to the ground all day long in that car.
Or less and keep it lighter.
Or,
you can probably
or if
get
you
that car.
Lighter, whatever,
probably get
whatever
that car
you
in this in like the 2,600 pound range.
You go,
so,
just pass me in a straight line.
They're
Canyon,
not,
bros.
They're
not
expensive these
it's
days,
not
right?
At all.
You can still buy a brand new one last year, and you get a 100,000 mile one. It's probably cheap.
Yeah. I mean, you can get. They're not. The resale value on them is not real high. I think Renee's has got like 40,000 miles on it. You could buy it for less than $10,000.
Less than
Renee's
10.
Future GLTC car is being driven to work right now.
Yeah, she's driving. That's her.
But
that's her winner.
How do you? We haven't seen any cars in GLTC that are competitive, that are forced induction yet.
Well,
do you think that's because there
ish.
Is the multiplier, or do you think there's just people just haven't done it?
So, nice segue, Abe. If I were going to build a car, and this was actually the car that we almost had, but some things happened.
Let me guess. Jackson Supercharged 1.5 liter Honda.
No, not what I would build.
Damn.
The car that, if I was going to just build a scratch
car
with
my
car? Swap, DC2 Integra, double wishbone, golden age of Honda suspension system, front and rear.
Can make it as light as you want.
Make it as light as you want. With a 1.5 liter Honda turbo driveline in it.
The new Civic Si motor.
The new Civic Si.
Yeah.
Or it's also in an Accord. It's also in a CRV.
Yep.
You can junkyard buy these things all day long for less than
when we had Brian from Hasport on the show last year, Brian was saying that he thought that this motor was effectively the new K-Series.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Because they're in everything, and they're good.
You can buy them all day long. They're in all the junkyards. You can get them easily. No problem. Low mileage ones all day. So think about... So we talked about it a little bit earlier today. We talked about the Civic Si, the TCA spec Civic Si. Think about that in that same drivetrain in a lighter car with a double wishbone suspension.
That wouldn't suck at all.
That would not suck at all. That would and honestly, if I was going to build a GLTC car from scratch, a builder's car, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Nice long wheelbase, easy to drive. All the torque, flat torque curve, all the horsepower you need. And I would probably street tire it and just tune it up to the point that no one could pass me in a straight line because that's the easiest place to pass people is at the end of the straightaway.
There's a lot of straights on racetracks.
And like at this racetrack, come at me, bro. I got 230
just
wheel horsepower.
Freight train at the start of a race and jump 8 spots.
Yeah, exactly. So
that could be super fun.
Builder's car, honestly, I'm not sure why we haven't seen one of those yet. I think it's really because people focus on the case stuff. But theoretically, that is not any more expensive to purchase and is more tunable than a K. And that little bit of turbo modifier that we have, I don't care. Big deal.
It's 2%.
Who cares?
It's 2?
2%.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
Is it
you
two?
Put it in a front-wheel drive, then...
I don't remember what I wrote.
I mean, if you put that in a front-wheel drive car, you're still at above 100 if you take it.
So if you think about it, we've already talked about the latest generation Civic Si with that drivetrain in it is already a competitive car. That's a bigger, heavier car with a strut suspension.
Yep.
Take that drivetrain and put it in a double wishbone car with a lighter suspension. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What have I done now?
It'd be really fast.
Yep.
I'm looking up the turbo and forced induction modifier right now. I don't remember.
I think it's 2%.
I think it's 2 also.
So while he looks that up, here's the other thing, and this is going to get Adam all fired up because this happened at an event that both he and I were instructing at last weekend. Let's talk about Camry V6 motors and MR2s.
Oh, dude.
See, I told you.
It's the freaking best sounding motor I've ever heard.
First of all, it sounds like an F1 car going down the straightaway.
It was
a V12. Yeah.
Cone was there. Yeah. It sounded incredible.
That so fast. So mid-engine, rear-wheel drive, second-gen MR2 with a junkyard Camry V6 slotted into it was fast as stick.
Yeah.
That car, it was just a junkyard drop-in $500 motor with an exhaust. And that thing was on fire.
Dude, it sounded so good. The first, like, 2 or 3 sessions were like, anybody figure out what's in that thing yet? Because that is incredible.
So Adam and I are over there running the numbers, and we're going, oh, man, that fits. That totally works.
Yeah, you like cut the power a little bit or detune it.
You
tiny,
have to detune it a little bit, but again.
Or you just make a fat, heavy car.
Oh,
it sounded so good, man.
So now you got mid-engine, rear-wheel drive, flat torque curve, 6-cylinder Toyota motor that cost you $500 for a junkyard.
Do people put those motors into Fieros? I saw a Fiero on the way here, and I was like, that's awesome.
A Fiero is not an MR2, though.
People put a lot of things in Fieros, though.
Yeah.
Put a lot of stuff in Fiero.
What about, like,
you can make
so you just
Lambo,
talked
Ferrari,
about the Camry motor. I'm actually kind of surprised that we haven't seen a couple Lotus chassis in GLTC. Not the sevens.
Yeah.
I'm talking like Elises and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's maybe entry cost. I don't know.
Well, last year it was actually a band chassis.
Oh, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, you wrote the rules, so.
I forgot everything I did, man.
One of the things about writing the rules
this, man.
Is you look at them so much that you forget what's in them.
Lotus Exige all years plus 2%. So
that's Lotus Exige, not an Elise. Oh,
Exige.
Okay.
Elise Exige.
Is it Elise / Exige?
It's a hard top Elise.
Reason for penalties because of the OEM flat floor and rear diffuser, no alterations are allowed. So, yeah.
That's a factory race car.
Is Evora on there?
What's up?
I don't think so.
A base Elise, it's not an Exige.
Elise / Exige all years, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, seriously, I don't know why we hadn't had that thought, and we hadn't thought about that until that student showed up last weekend. He told me he got that motor was plucked straight from a junkyard Camry for $500.
Yeah.
And that car was screaming around mid-Ohio on street tires. That's a street-legal car at a
so
pretty
cool.
ridiculous pace. And I was looking at
it. And I bet it's
going,
mega reliable because it's a Camry.
It's all Toyota reliability. And I was looking at that thing going, ooh, okay, wait a minute.
Forced induction is 2% this year. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
2%. That right there is a GLTC car waiting to happen.
Right. It was so cool.
There's no question.
And he
about
had it
that.
Hooked up to a 5-speed?
Yeah.
It was a 5-speed, yeah.
Yeah, it sounded awesome. It sounded awesome.
Fly. I mean, that thing dug out of the corners like it was.
Oh, it was so fast.
I mean, you got the weight in the right
place. I was
place,
afraid
driving
for how
right
fast
wheels.
He was. It was really going fast.
Yeah. I don't. Somebody should do that. I don't know why we haven't, but somebody should do that.
It was
that.
A really, really cool build.
Yeah. So the right driver in the right package could go straight to the front with that build. No question about
it. So many
it.
Good ideas here.
Yeah,
what?
No, you got to. No, Bart. All you can do is do a K Miata.
No.
That's all you can do.
No. I heard you
got to
have a K Miata.
I don't fit in those.
You got to have a K Miata to win in GLTC.
What? Anything else? Any other ideas?
So this one's way out there.
Yeah.
V6, 6th-gen Camaro.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you from first-hand knowledge, that car handles really,
that
really well.
That car FUX, if you want it to, yeah, man. It's a pretty good car.
That's a really, really good car.
The V6, not the 2-liter turbo?
I would go V6.
What are we talking about?
V6, 6th-gen Camaro.
That's a 300 horsepower V6.
Yep, you can slot that thing right in. It's a big, heavy car, but you can slot that thing right in.
We saw a couple of V6 Mustangs, the ST, no, ITS Mustangs. Ron Earp and his buddy John. John?
Yeah, Jim? having driven both, you want the Camaro.
What do those weigh?
A lot.
Yeah. A lot.
But you can put the horsepower down that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you
can
probably put 260 to the wheel.
What about taking that motor and sticking it in like a Solstice?
Oh, yeah, you can do some heat with that thing.
Yeah.
Some damage.
Good point.
That Solstice,
why we invited you to come
that
today,
Solstice
Bart.
Can fit there, big there tires
a,
underneath
there's
it.
There's a Lemons prepped, Lemons Chump Car prepped Solstice. Maybe it's a, whatever the other one is.
The Sky.
Whatever. Yeah. It's been talking to me a lot. And it's got a severely detuned LS motor in it. But he's like, even at my lowest power, I'm going to have to be like 3,200 pounds. And I'm like, what's the lightest you can get? He's like, I don't know, 3,100? I'm like, what is your complaint at all? I don't understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's those are good chassis too. That's
a really,
really
good chassis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another one. And I don't know why we haven't seen many of these. 350Z.
Well, we've seen what?
Austin Hurdle is coming.
370Z. We got one 350Z this weekend.
We got a 350Z this
weekend.
We had
two here last year.
It's a champ car build with a stock driveline on it, running Max's tires, and in a butcher shop of a field.
That
dude's running mid-pack.
That is not a champ car build, though. That thing,
it was kind of nice for a champ car build.
That thing is really nice car.
It's really nice for a champ. It's nicer than your average champ car
build. It's nicer than your average GLTC car.
But it's supposed to be champ car
legal. It was going to be a champ.
Yeah.
It never actually got
there. But anyway, that thing's running around 20th in a field, a really, really tough field of 40 cars.
Right.
With nothing real special in Max's
tires. There's something there. There's
a lot of potential there, actually.
Same car in RE71Rs is a monster. What are those? Oh, man, look at this. I thought these were cigars, but
they're
pretzels with
chocolate.
We're
being gifted things.
Is there drugs in this?
I was thinking somebody was having a baby.
Is there drugs in this?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Don't give Adam edibles. Things go sideways if you get Adam edibles.
Ever again.
Anything else for Adam? I don't know. What do you think? Throw one out there that you think somebody should have built that we haven't built yet.
I've thought a lot about
and it's not a supercharged 1.5 liter. Yeah,
that's just the car I want.
Civic,
and it's like,
with Lambo doors.
It's happily there, like it exists in GLTs.
I mean, let's face it, we've had a minivan.
So
that minivan didn't even finish at the back of the pack. That's all you need to know,
dude. The guy with the 350Z this weekend, Greg. He's got a 16 valve Cosworth 198. And he says it runs the same lap times.
There's another one.
Like,
yeah.
I think that would be a cool car. I would love to see a wild, old school E30 M3. But that engine's so expensive to run now. That what's S14 motor or whatever?
Yeah.
The 4-liter. The high revving.
Yeah, those things are high dollar.
So I think I'm totally off base, but I was thinking about one. I've only driven one on the street, but. The Cadillacs that use like the A chassis, the one that is used in the the ATS-V.
Right.
Yeah, it's
a
Camaro.
They use that chassis in other stuff. I wonder if you could do something with a Cadillac with like the 3.6 or whatever.
You could. It comes with a turbo 4 too. It's a 2.0 liter.
I'm sure it would be heavy, but if you start taking out all the luxury bits,
chassis is the Camaro.
Yeah.
No, that's in there too. It's got a little higher entry cost because it's a Cadillac. But
yeah, but I mean, you could probably get a 6 or 8 year old one.
Yeah, no, the resale on those things isn't huge. Yeah. Not at all.
Bart doesn't come from our jaded world. Do you have any other ideas for something like this, Bart?
Dude, I always go back to all that vintage old 90s stuff where things were light.
I'm thinking, like, what's the coolest 80s chassis we haven't seen? You know, like
Fiero.
If we go 80s chassis. I mean, think of all the options that were there.
Right.
You know, you had more rear wheel drive options. So, like, old Corollas. You know, like, where's the A86 out here? I mean,
they're
granted,
all drifting.
Yeah, I know they're all drifting. Or
they're super expensive and bring a trailer.
You know, 240s. We're not seeing a lot of 240s.
Not yet. Yeah.
But I mean, those were a little bit heavy. But I just go back to Honda chassis.
Yeah.
Honda chassis in the late 80s, early 90s were where
with
it was
Jackson
at.
Blowers and the Lambo doors.
Well, at this point, put another newer Honda motor in.
No.
I mean, that is such a good
I'll
idea.
I'll never do it.
Single cam for life, boy.
Yeah, man.
D-Series. He can't do anything but a D-Series. Well, that's all he can do.
A D-Series is fine-ish.
Shut your mouth. It's not fine. It's terrible.
So, in all honesty, when we were building Clappy the K24 Fit, we gave some really, really deep thought to putting a six-cylinder minivan motor in that thing.
So fast.
My minivan.
It would be the reason we moved away from that is it would be super, super front heavy.
Oh, for sure.
So it would be like a 75-25 weight distribution on that car.
It'd be new, absolute pig.
New
still,
minivans make
still,
like 280
you know, again,
horse.
They
make it's
so
a
horse
lot.
Oh, yeah.
But that still swings back to, okay, it's super heavy, 75-25 weight distribution, but pass me at the end of the road straight, bro. You're not going to do it. You're absolutely not going
to
do it.
What about some early 90s Accords? Go to that old DTM style.
CB7s and stuff like that or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, there's so many, like, old Hondas that got to be, like,
it's
rotten somewhere
Hondas.
To go
I just want
save.
More of those.
So
I would love to see, like a really old, like, two-door Jetta. Like one of them random ass like second gen two door Jettas,
it's very
Jettas
that
slammed Gulfs? To the ground. Oh man,
it's very interesting that you bring that up because another thing on my list is how come we don't see GTIs out here?
I was thinking more about GTIs.
Yeah,
because they do have DSGs.
Some of the new ones do. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen one yet, and I'm not sure why.
Oh, we probably will. Christian Falopa had the old GTI.
The old Jetta,
and he's
yeah.
talked about, like, he really wants to do a GSG swap, but currently our rules forbid a dual-clutch transmission in a car that you couldn't buy it with that in there.
Which I feel like I would prefer to see those kinds of swaps. So
if it were
my rule set, I don't think it would be disallowed.
Well, it's my rule set.
I know.
It's not your rule set, Abe. It's Adam's rule set.
I don't want it to be like the requirement that you have a PDK or a DSG because like that could be a slippery slope, man.
So the other easy button, and there's nothing easy button about race cars, but the easy button, S2000s and BRZs. You know, we're looking at Tom and Pervez both. We're
stock.
In the top five today, stock motored. S2000.
Tune it, bolt-ons.
So cool. I think this allows us to segue to the next show. We're going to have Alex Moss and Eddie Smedegaard on the show here in like just a couple minutes.
Right.
And Moss and Andy are doing a BMW DCT swap into an S2000.
It's borderline
and,
stupid.
They're kind of Instagram awesome. Famous at this point because that, like, it's gotten 1,100 shares, just one picture on Andy.
Right.
Andy's
we don't
like,
do borderline stupid. We go straight to full stupid.
Yeah. Well,
let's kick the rock
it is
right
from Wisconsin. So, and middle of Wisconsin.
Right.
So we should probably call it. It's been about 48 minutes.
That's a good show.
We should do one with Andy and Moss because Andy's king of the mountain now.
That's true.
So
in Moss's car.
At the end of the day, GLTC is a K swap series. You got to have that to win, right?
That's what I heard in the bathroom today.
I've heard that 15 times today.
Scott actually heard it in the bathroom today.
Yeah.
And he was so
I was
mad.
In the bathroom. I heard somebody in the bathroom talk about, yeah, you can't win that unless you have a K Miata. And I was like, ooh, I'm angry. I'm angry now.
Did you say that to him?
No. I was too busy peeing to tell them that I was angry, but because that would have been weird.
Today I almost peed on my jacket because Gary radioed me while I was peeing. My jacket almost went in front of my ding-a-ling, but it didn't
do it. Turn the radio off when you're peeing, Adam.
Yeah,
take a break.
Gotta.
Take a break, man.
Well, it was a pretty good day overall. I appreciate your help with CompuVals. Everybody doing all right besides Colton, who...
We're doing okay.
Colton's car drove him into the wall when all the lights came on and the ABS locked
up. Yeah, right now
we
cannot highly recommend an SMG BMW.
Well, at least the ABS system that locks up the rear wheels and crashes
there was
you.
Nothing about that that went really well.
That was not great. But, a couple of E46s had a rough day.
We had a bad E46 day today.
Yeah. Single car incidents. They crashed themselves.
Yep.
But,
we're still on our pathway of GLTC drivers do not wreck other GLTC drivers.
That's the goal, at least.
So we're going to stick with that.
Anti-gravity batteries. You want to have them Google anti-gravity batteries or Bart@Anagravity.
Sure. Everything works. You'll find us very easily.
He's doing the high pressure sales thing to you.
Yeah, sure.
Hey,
what do you need?
Google it.
How can I be nicer than I should because I'm from Wisconsin and cheese is cheap?
You know, it's what we do.
Yeah, I love it, man. I appreciate you coming out. We're in your home turf, but you drove 1,000 miles to Colorado to hang out with us. So.
Yeah, I know. It was a good time.
That's a wild event.
Even minus the window, it was all good.
Yeah, his car, his FJ was the one that got freaking BB'd by a drift car.
I heard about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ryan Turek, Chris Forsberg, they like to ride those walls just a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
So, but it's all good.
You can tell everybody your car got busted by a professional drifter.
I probably owe Bart like $150.
It's like 10 seconds worth of YouTube fame, so it's all good.
There you go. You're good.
Yeah, and there's more expensive things in life.
Maybe
than
next year we will ramp your FJ over some drift cars.
Dude, that'd be sweet.
I'm just, in. I'll drive it. I'll do that.
We'll just have to figure out some suspension.
Get a lot more.
No, see, we don't apply any thought to it. Just do it.
Just see what happens. Man.
We'll make sure there are some
drift cars. That's future Bart's problem. F that guy.
Yeah.
future Bart. Who cares?
All you got to do is buy track insurance, man.
Oh, exactly.
First one to buy
insurance.
Just gave away the whole thing on a podcast.
Yeah, the first one to buy FJ Cruiser track insurance in the world.
Can't wait to talk to the Haggerty guys about that one.
So... we were on Pikes Peak Raceway, and it just folded in half for no reason. I don't know why.
How did it land on the nose on top of a drift car? We don't really know.
I don't know. You know, sometimes things get really weird on race
tracks. See, what had happened was.
Just
got no control over anything happening around.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the next show.
I want to thank
a lot of people.
Patreons, Apex Pro.
Yeah.
Racing Radios, helping us out with radios here at this event. Pretty much everybody that's helping us out at this event.
Chris, we bring you chocolate-covered pretzels.
These are freaking delicious. I really do appreciate all the a lot of the workers and like the grid workers that are helping us out this weekend. They're podcast listeners. I'm so thankful that they're here. Like, just volunteer and come and hang out. So trying to show them a good time. They get to fist bump a bunch of race car drivers and have a good time. So. Everybody that makes the Grid Life world revolve and not fall on its face, I just love all of you so much. So,
thanks, everybody.
Yeah, man.
Bye, y'all.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at Grid Life to say hello.